I wanted to share with you an observation. We talked about this in the first Mass. It's interesting how you see people are the same everywhere you go. And the thing I wanted to point out is how it seems like no matter where you go in the country, everybody likes the back part of the church. I know I did. I was a kid on the Mass, sitting back. And I noticed this when I traveled. I see people sitting in the back. And yesterday I was reminded of this. We were working out at the new church, making measurements, and getting things set up for the utilities in the church, etc. And we were looking at the pews that we bought, as opposed to the pews that were bought by families who went to that church there and wanted that pew. Most of the pews that were bought by the people were in the back. So it makes you know that it's a common thing. People like the back pews. Now I wonder, just trying to analyze this, why do people like that? Maybe it's because of the parable our Lord saw. The Pharisee was up in front and the publican was in the back, striking his breast. The voice of the publican went away, justified. Or it could be maybe the parable of the wedding feast, and you don't take the first place, but you get in the last place, and that encourage you a little higher. Maybe. But I think by and large, one of the things that I find interesting is people like the back part of the church. I'm not picking on them, I'm just saying it's kind of an interesting observation. But like I say, the thing is this, I'm glad that you're here. Front, back, middle, left, right, it doesn't matter. I'm in the choir loft, in the cry room, that's okay. But when it comes to, you know, going to Mass, let us remember, no matter where we sit, the important thing is focusing on the Holy Sacrifice. Jesus coming down on the altar and the renewal of the sacrifice on the cross in an unbloody manner. This morning I'd like to speak of one aspect of the gospel, and that is the wedding garment. We read in the gospel this parable when the king went in to the wedding feast, and he sees someone not wearing his wedding garment, and he says, "Friend, why don't you have a wedding garment on? Where is it?" And the man was speechless. What does that wedding garment represent? What does this big banquet, this big feast represent? The wedding garment represents sanctifying grace, the life of God in our soul. This is our wedding garment that we need in order to enjoy the happiness of heaven. To go through a very quick theology of sanctifying grace, what is sanctifying grace? As I said, it's the life of God, the sharing of God's life in our soul. Adam and Eve, when God created them, they were with sanctifying grace in their soul. God gave them a sharing in his life. And that was the greatest gift he gave them. When Adam and Eve had sinned, they lost that gift. They died spiritually. God said to Adam and Eve, "If you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will die to death." And they didn't physically die as soon as they ate the fruit, but they spiritually died. God's grace was taken from their soul. And that is what the meaning of original sin really is. We are born into this world deprived of this gift that Adam and Eve had freely been given by God. They forfeited it for all of us. Sometimes people complain and say, like, "Well, that ain't fair. Why is it that I have original sin? I didn't do that." Well, God didn't take away from us anything we have a right to. It was a free gift given Adam and Eve. If they would have not fallen into sin, we would have acquired that gift. But unfortunately, they fell, and they forfeited that gift. That's the significance of baptism. A washing away. What's being washed away? Original sin. The priest takes the water and says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." And the washing plus the words, the form, original sin is washed away. And God's life, sanctifying grace, comes into our soul for the first time. If we have the misfortune of falling into serious sin, Jesus, knowing our weakness, instituted confession. whose sins you forgive, Jesus said to his apostles, they are forgiven. These are the two sacraments that are called the sacraments of the dead. Baptism, because it gives us the life of God for the first time. And penance, when the soul is dead in sin, it comes back to life. God's life comes into the soul. Now, this is a real shortcut for all of you children who have catechism or go to school in religion class. Listen. Mark the date. October 19th. You heard it from me. What is the answer to any of the questions pertaining to the sacraments? What are the effects of the sacrament of confirmation? What is the effect of the sacrament of matrimony? What is the effect of holy orders? What are all those effects? First thing you gotta know, an increase of sanctifying grace. So you remember that now. Next time sister asks you a question, what are the effects of this sacrament, that sacrament, you've always got to say an increase of sanctifying grace. That's the first thing. God's life in our soul is increase. So you got at least half of it, right? And you can thank the bishop for telling you that. That's always the answer. When we receive a sacrament worthily, God's life is increased in our soul. When we think of this precious gift that God has given us, our ticket to heaven, this wedding garment, how important it is that we protect it. We don't run the risk of losing God's life in our soul through mortal sin. How important it is that we avoid, like the plague, like the Ebola, we avoid occasions of sin. Persons, places, things are going to lead us into sin. Not worth it. There's a lot of spiritual poisons out there in the world that the devil has concocted. And if we're not careful, we're going to drink in that poisonous potion and we're going to have spiritual death. When we think of this precious gift of sanctifying grace, let us not be gamblers. I was coming back from the Fatima Conference. I was only there 2 days, but I flew on Southwest Airlines, sometimes goes to Denver, sometimes Las Vegas. I hate Vegas. I mean, I hate the airport. It's so crowded. Everyone's gambling there. But that's petty gambling. That's just little stuff. I mean, it's very distracting, and et cetera, et cetera. But big gamblers are those who gamble everything. All their property, all they own, those are big gamblers. But how many are spiritually big gamblers? Committing mortal sin and gambling what? Your eternity. All eternity to lose God, the happiness of heaven, the wedding feast that God has prepared for us. For what? There's nothing in this world that compares to the happiness of heaven. And how important it is that we protect this great gift of what we call sanctifying grace. If we ever have the misfortune of committing mortal sin, the first thing we should do is make a perfect act of contrition. We tell God we're sorry because we love Him with that firm purpose of amendment, and we try to go to confession as soon as possible. Don't delay, don't put it off, don't dilly-dally with it. If we dilly-dally with sin and with mortal sin, we are big gamblers, and we may lose in the end. Not worth it, not worth it, not worth it. This is one of the reasons why, when we talk about sanctifying grace and we talk about occasions of sin are different for all of us, but we know where our areas of weakness are. We know the areas that we should stay away from. Let's stay away from them. If I knew that somebody had a bullet, I wouldn't go visiting their house. If I know some place where somebody had Ebola, I wouldn't go there at all. I'd stay as far away as I could from them. And why I mention Ebola is because it's kind of been on the news with, you know, somebody dying in Dallas of Ebola, and then a nurse with all the protection, all the covering, and all the masks and gowns, and she came out, but she didn't know how she came out with. We can't be careful enough. We can't be careful enough. The devil is very, very clever. He never sleeps. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom they may devour, as St. Peter tells us in his epistle. Sanctifying grace, the wedding garment, With it will be the happiness of heaven. Without it will be punished with the fires of hell. This is a very important aspect of our lives, to try to always be in a state of sanctifying grace. And if we're not in a state of sanctifying grace, we do our best to recover that state ASAP. Every time we receive a sacrament, today we receive Holy Communion, think of the words that the priest says, Corpus Domini Nostri Jesu Christi, custodia animam tuam, in vitam aeternam. By the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy soul unto life eternal. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.